Hi there, I'm Krish Saroy and welcome to the Sacred Wild Podcast. Each week I show you how to live your purpose and discover your own sacred wild spirit. On the podcast we explore the nexus point where nature, consciousness, leadership and activism come together. I talk with thought leaders to get their insights and wisdom about our collective transformation. I also show you how to own your power, give your gifts and make your highest impact on this world. So with that, let's dive into this next episode. So hi everyone, welcome to the Sacred Wild Podcast with Krish Saroy. And I'm really pleased that I have a very good friend of mine and a teacher and just one of the leading lights in my spiritual life, Sonia Chokhout, on the line. Hi Sonia, how are you?
Hi Krishna, I'm wonderful because I'm with you.
It's always great to spend time with you and I'm really, really pleased that you could be with me this evening. So this podcast is all about the sacred and our wild nature and our connection with the world around us kind of thing. And I always remember way back in 2009, I think it was, when I did Six Sensory Living One with you, one of the things you said back then was, nature is the vibration of unconditional love. And that always stuck with me. So where I'd love to go in this conversation is just like, how do we get back to who we really are at our core? And kind of really listen in to that voice within that kind of directs us home, as it were.
I think it begins with recognizing there's a difference between your mind and your spirit. And your spirit is the life force that animates your body. It's the energy that gives your heart the power to beat. It's right. The energy that gives your consciousness the power to be self-aware. And when we connect that consciousness and recognize it is housed in our bodies, and our bodies are supported as part of nature, then we are less distracted by the constant conversation of the ego mind, which, you know, I don't think the ego mind is our enemy. I think it's our support system, but it doesn't know its place. I think it doesn't want to be the support. It wants to be the leader. Mm. The problem with the ego mind as not being who we are is it's really a culmination of strategies that we've developed over life to assure ourselves approval of others. Right. To the best of our ability, which is pretty low. It's, you know, we're not shooting very well. So because we're trying to please others as a survival strategy and we're not doing it well, the ego mind is not very accurate in its perceptions.
Right.
So if we can recognize and retrain the ego mind to say, look, your job is to support the spirit that I am. And the only approval you need is mine, my inner presence, my inner divine self supported in my body. Then the ego mind calms down and it stops fighting your spirit. It starts listening to your body. Mm. It starts listening to the connection you have as a spirit embodied to the earth, to one another, to the overall community that we're in on planet Earth. But if it's off trying to run the show, it's not listening to anything.
Right.
But its own anxiety. And that's where we check out. So it's a kind of a long-winded answer, but it starts by getting back in your body, back to your breath, back to the ground, and getting quiet.
Right. And that is, I find whenever I go to, like, as you know, I go to Canada to do a lot of my spiritual work, and that just being out in nature and being out in that huge wilderness, you can't be anything but quiet. And the vision that sprang to mind, she said about like running around trying to control anything, just thinking about the politicians in this kind of COVID situation, all that, and all that crazy ego stuff going on. It's just
it is kind of a sad noise, because on one hand, I get that all those politicians are very disconnected from their spirit, so they're being driven by almost a panic attack. of effort. And, you know, I've been in Canada in nature. One of my most significant workshops in Canada was in Banff. Have you ever been there?
Several times. Love it.
So that nature is alive and it's humbling and calming to the nervous system. To be in nature, you feel the vibration of the Divine Mother, of the earth, and it quiets. If you give yourself even half an hour in that beautiful experience, you know, in the mountains or outdoors or in the woods or by the beach or wherever, and you just allow yourself to feel the experience of being there, it naturally quiets all that anxiety that's what we call the talking heads.
Right, right.
And you begin to feel a deeper sense of who you are and you begin to feel connected. So that you feel connected and you feel like you belong. Those are two things your ego can't provide you.
Right, right.
Disconnected, right. And it doesn't belong to anything but its own sustenance. So I think that one of the wonderful things about the quarantine of the COVID is it has sent us all home and to be quiet, and we're getting reconnected with our own nature, our own bodies, our own selves. And for a lot of people, that's been a real shock.
Definitely.
But it's been long enough now that we're beginning to find a sanctuary there that we didn't find before. First it was, I don't want to go home. Now it's, I don't want to leave.
Right. I must admit, I'm hearing many of the people I'm hearing saying, I don't want to leave. I want my kids to go back to school, but I don't want to leave home.
It's just that I feel like what we are learning, what this big, it's all related. The COVID, the global upset, everything, it's all ultimately related, which is saying go back to who you really are, which is in your heart, which is sustained in your body, which is connected to the earth, and we are connected to one another, all of which your ego mind can convince you isn't true.
Absolutely.
So we're getting back to our hearts, back to our bodies, back to our connection and responsibility to the planet, and back to the fact that we are indelibly connected to one another, and that we need to cooperate and collaborate to move forward with any confidence.
Right.
We can't get around that. As much as politicians want to say, open, don't open, be together, don't be together, masks, no face masks, we're safe, we're not safe. The truth prevails that we are connected. We do influence one another.
Absolutely.
We do need to be grounded in our bodies, and we do need to be responsible for nature, how it heals us, how we have to take care of it. And none of those things can be denied any longer.
Right. It seems to me that, you know, there's been an opening, and it seems like we're in this kind of liminal space right now where there is an opportunity to move forward with that consciousness. And there's almost like that, are we going to fall forwards into the future, or are we going to fall back into the past kind of thing? So for those kind of people out there that are kind of like, I want to move forwards with this, but, you know, I'm going to return to work at some point and all that, and my, you know, those old forces are going to come shearing back at me. What would you say to them about kind of moving forward?
Well, I'd say the number, first of all, we have to be very practical. I'd almost use the chakras. Go to the first chakra. That's survival. Okay. So survival is, first of all, get grounded in your body and pay attention to what is happening in your body and what it needs. You know, be quiet. Take responsibility for your own well-being. Learn what you can, what we do know so far, for example, with the pandemic, because we don't know much. It's so changing all the time.
Right. Absolutely.
Do make choices that take care of your health so that you become set up for success, to not become vulnerable. to infection, but also know that it's a fact that it's becoming a proven fact that consciousness is the most important part of your health and well-being.
Right. Absolutely.
So don't be fearful.
Meditate.
Be grounded. Be quiet. Calm your nervous anxiety and your fears. Unplug from the influences that aggravate and agitate and frighten you. Don't drink the Kool-Aid, so to speak.
Right.
So go back to work. Use all the resources that you know, but listen to your own body. Listen. Does it feel important for you to keep social distance and wear a mask? Then do. Does it feel important that you stay home and work? Then do. I really feel like part of what this is about is there's no one size fits all.
No, absolutely.
Each of us has to check in and find our own inner congruency.
Right.
What feels right for me? And is it coming from my fear and anxiety, or is it coming from this deeper inner guidance? Fear and anxiety has a different signature than inner guidance. Fear and anxiety is contracted thinking. You feel anxious. There's no inner room. Your nervous system's reactive. Inner guidance gives you room to breathe. It kind of releases that contraction. It opens up. You feel more at peace in your body. You feel calmer in your nervous system. So check and follow what gives you that grounded room to breathe. And it boils down to take full responsibility for yourself.
Right. Absolutely. I love that. And it seems to me that, you know, this has been the biggest ever experiment in flexible and remote working, let's face it, in the world of business. And it seems to me that part of this is going to be, and it's conversations I've been having with business clients around, what is the future of work? What does that look like? And there being this opportunity now for people to have that choice of work from home, have your own, you know, routine, that kind of thing, which is amazing. And it's something else I want to pick up on there that you were kind of talking about was, it seems to me on a kind of almost spiritual level, one of the big messages of this year, and in fact, the last few years, I think, has been embodiment. And the spirit really being in the body as opposed to kind of being up here, kind of something kind of quite etheric. And I wonder if you might be able to talk to a bit more around embodiment.
Well, I feel like your spirit is the frequency and the connection of the life force. And that comes through the heart. When the heart beats, you're alive. When the heart stops beating, not when the brain stops.
No, right. When
the brain stops, you can still be alive. They call it brain dead, but your body still continues. It's when your heart stops that your spirit has left the room. And that's your life force. That's your essence. So it's in your trunk. It's in your cavity. It's in your body. It's not up in your head. So if we get disconnected and numbed out to our feeling center, we become disconnected to our spirit. This is why I always start all of my consciousness workshops, all my teaching, working with clients one-on-one, even as I give them tools to get back in their body, because it's only when you're centered in your center, in your body, can you even hear your inner guidance? Can you even sense it? Can you even become aware of it? Because guidance is not language. Guidance is vibration that we interpret and we language, but it doesn't come to us as language.
No, for sure. Absolutely, for sure. So for those people out there that hear the word vibration, and maybe they're new to this kind of world, what if we were to put some more words around vibration and what it is, how it shows up, and then what it feels like?
Well, here's a good practice. Everybody, if you're listening, I want you to do something with me just for a moment. And you can do it with me. It's very simple. I want you to just rub your hands together and shake them out and take a breath. Release. Rub them again together. Shake them out. And then rub your palms, not touching, but have them facing each other. Mm. And feel the energy that goes palm to palm.
Yeah.
It's subtle, but 99% of people can feel this.
It's very palpable. It's
vibration. Yeah. This is the energy that you emote. And all of life force emotes a vibration. Cameras can photograph that now. Mm. There are instruments and tools that can register this. So it's not a metaphor. No. It's an actual energetic expression of who we are. Right. And that energetic expression reveals ourselves to one another. It reveals life to you. We're all speaking and revealing the nature of ourselves, and whether we're animals or we're trees or ocean or people, we're all revealing and communicating our presence. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And vibration is our heart center, and our stomach are the most responsive to receiving that communication. Mm. And then the intellect is the third. It's the last. It's the least perceptive.
Right.
The heart and the gut are the most perceptive. That's why our language inherently around the world has things like my heart says or my gut tells me. We've languaged that in every culture. Mm-hmm. Around the world.
It's true.
If you ask people, what does your instinct say? What is your inner self saying? They will naturally, around the world, put their hand on their heart or their gut.
Yep.
Never do we put our hands on our head. Never.
Apart from when we're despairing.
Only when we're like, I don't know. I don't know. But when we are looking for, like, okay, what is my deepest inner self saying to me or communicating, instinctively, I think in our DNA, we go to these places that interpret and receive this direct communication of energy from one entity to another. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm talking about with vibration. Fortunately, once upon a time in my career, that was considered very woo-woo. But now science has caught up with us,
right.
And it is validated. It is on, you know, Psychology Magazine. I even think in the UK had a whole front page about the stomach being our new brain. You know, our right. Gut, our new brain. So we're learning that we are in fact six sensory. That we have more than our outer senses to guide us, and that we have this heart, gut, inner self, matrix,
yeah,
of perception that's communicating at a much higher rate and more accurately than our six senses.
Mm.
But if we're not in our bodies, if we're not body centered, we're gonna. It's like turning the radio off. It's like turning the scanner off, which is why most people say, I don't know what you're talking about. They don't, because they're disconnected.
Right.
Now, if you just do this little exercise with the hands and feeling the energy, you should see people's eyes open up. It's like they pop up like, whoa, revelatory.
It is. It's like a revelation.
It's like, whoa, that there's a whole thing here that I am feeling and sensing that I'm not seeing. I'm not registering right. with my eyes, but I am experiencing. And if we're just stuck in our heads and see where COVID stopped us is it got us in our bodies, it got us disconnected, it got us grounded, it got us more sensitive to what's really going on with us, but it also opens this door of perception where before we were going too fast, we were disconnected and numbed out.
Right.
We were intoxicated with doing and checking out on phones and computers and activities and socializing and stimulation that all got slammed down.
Yeah.
It got cut off.
Right.
So all of a sudden, all our distractions have been more or less eliminated.
Yeah.
And we're just left to be with ourselves. But what got awakened was this sixth sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like, though it's a rude awakening, it's nevertheless a good one.
Definitely. Well, let's face it. I mean, I forget the author, but I once read kind of it was an Australian guy. He said, you know, the universe throws you a pebble, then a stone, then a rock, then a boulder, and eventually, if you don't get it, it throws you a ruddy great asteroid, and there it is.
Exactly.
This
was a global asteroid. I feel like COVID is a divine intervention. I actually think the global racial unrest that followed COVID, they're connected. Because first we're forced to our bodies, then we're forced to start paying attention to what we're doing to our planet. Then we're starting to reconcile what we're doing to one another. Because when you're in your intellect, you're in your ego, you can actually otherize people and treat them as things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's how the racial discrimination is. I'm talking about them like they're things, discardable things, intrusive things, threatening things, but not humans who have the same connection to life and spirit as I do. And so when we started settling down and getting quiet and we started reawakening to that connection, like, wait a minute, I have been really numbed here to something that I can no longer deny. We have to start recognizing humanity is connected and we have to treat each other and the planet with respect. Anybody who has a problem with that is just still numbed out.
Right.
That's their handicap. They are disconnected. The minute you get into your heart and body and spirit, it's undeniable. You don't think it, you feel it. You experience the connection.
Right. There it is. I think one of the things that I found really fascinating about everything, as you just said, the kind of the racial justice piece that came out as, and the timing can't be anything other than connected.
Absolutely.
But it's, you know, and I've seen lots of I've seen CEOs who've suddenly kind of gone, Christ, I've got to be an activist in this area. And suddenly there's this thing. But it's really interesting that there becomes this separation, this black and white of, you know, it's you know, race, anti-race, you know.
Right. Which to me still is otherizing.
Right.
It's
exactly.
Not deep enough. When it's deep enough, it's that we come to the realization there's no them. There is just us.
Right.
And that we need to keep digging to get back to the center of and the heart of the matter, which is that there's just us and we're all on this one planet. And right. I either live with that consciousness, choose with that consciousness, behave with that consciousness, or I don't. And if I don't, it's because I'm uncomfortable and I am avoiding growth. And if I do, it's because I'm leaning in and whatever comes up, I'm okay with it. I'm used to being uncomfortable.
Right.
I embrace it as growth. Now, to me, one of the fun things about all of this is one of the global otherizings that all races are guilty of is discriminating against being a sixth sensory, being an intuitive.
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that
yes? So I've grown up with all across the board, every race saying you're what? You have sixth senses. You're a weirdo. You've lost your mind, which is true, you know, because the great discrimination, the global discrimination is you can't listen to your heart and have six senses. We don't accept that.
Right.
And that's the cure for all of it.
Thank you. Thank you. And to be honest, you've just right there, that's the heart of what this podcast is all about.
Yes.
Because, you know, one of the things that really struck me I felt very sad was during the week of the racial injustice stuff and all that. Not to take away from any of that at all. There was a news story on the BBC about the next great extinction wave happening, and there being 520 species, I think it is, that will be extinct in the next 10 to 15 years. And it's
heartbreaking.
Exactly. And it got lost completely. And yet here we are, part of this great ecosystem, literally, as you say,
when it's like we're all on the Titanic going down and everybody's crying over the band.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
But I think that here's the thing. COVID's not going away quickly like we all want it to, because it's our teacher.
Right.
And it keeps reminding us that if we don't stop being narcissistic and egocentric, we are the problem.
Absolutely.
And so we are not being, it's not easing. Everyone's like, oh, it'll be over by summer. It's not. It's not. You know, and this will all be behind us. That's the ego saying, oh, let me just, this is too much work. But I feel like what's happening, and what I'm really personally heartened by, the people who are really getting this deeper message, like you said, about the planet, about racial injustice, about connecting to one another, are the younger people, the ones that are going to be the leaders,
absolutely,
the under 40s. Are really driving the change. Yeah. So they're not going unconscious.
No.
And so we'll see. The millennials, we'll put. The millennials and a little Gen Xers. But there is something here that I feel they got really beat up. They got slammed in a lot of ways. But they're also going to be the game changers.
100%.
So, and I'm an eternal optimist. I believe that humanity, I feel in a way, Christian, like we're in the black, you know, in the middle of the Middle Ages and the Black Death and and then all of a sudden it was the Renaissance.
All right.
That's what followed. And I feel like we're on that tipping point to a new Renaissance.
Do you know what? I'm really pleased to hear you say. I very much concur with that. And, you're right. I mean, it's because of millennials and, you know, maybe a little bit above Gen X, I'm hearing words like meaning and purpose in the workplace. And I don't care about like the wages. I want to know how I contribute.
And you're right. They actually did a study that said the number one driving impulse for people under 45 in work is meaning over money. And that's encouraging.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because the cult, the group, the powers that be right now that have driven the boat into where we are have valued money over meaning.
100%. 100%.
So the pendulum is going to, we'll see with the way things unfold, but I feel the pendulum will swing the other way. I'm confident of it. How bad it has to get, there's always a tipping point.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, they always say, don't they, necessity is the mother of invention. So, you know, let's hope we're getting to that point where, you know, we don't have to go too far further to get the joke.
Right. So, and I'm not speaking as an expert intellectually, academically, but I am speaking as an expert intuitively.
Yeah.
I feel intuitively encouraged by the direction that all this chaos will lead us into. I am encouraged that all of this meltdown is going to create an epiphany that will save us in the long run. I believe that. I feel that. I'm definitely not a Pollyanna. If I thought, Jesus, our days are numbered and we better start, you know, living it up because we don't have much time in the physical form. I would be realistic, but I don't feel that. I feel like we're on the verge of a renaissance. I do. I feel like we'll see it over the next 3 years.
Yeah.
I feel COVID will be around for that long.
Well, it's going to be the guide that takes us down the river, really, isn't it?
Right. So, but I think for anybody listening, first, honor your own nature. Don't pollute your own body. Mm. And then honor the home you live in by becoming an eco-conscious person. Honor the community you live in by contributing. If there's, for example, a community garden or a recycle support, little baby steps starting with your body, your home, your neighborhood, your community is enough.
Right.
The reason we stop is we say it's too big, so why start? And I say, no, take your cup to the river of life and fill your cup. And if we all do that, we will collectively reverse the course to the place where we come back to balance.
I love that. I absolutely love that. So just one place I always like to go towards the end of my conversations with awesome guests is to find out how they fill their cup. You've always said to people like me that, you know, it's all about holding your vibration up. So where do you find your joy these days?
That's a good question. And here's what I think the answer is. The way to hold the highest vibration is to do what you love. Mm. And I have a simple, simple tool to find out what that is. And it's just filling the blank for 3 minutes a day. And the blank is, if I weren't afraid, I would. Mm. And then answer it out loud for 3 minutes a day. You could do it in the shower. You can do it while you're having coffee. You can turn off the radio and just do it. Have a conversation with your partner or your family over breakfast where you all answer that question. And then do one of those things that day. Mm. Because one will lead to the other, to the other, to the other. But if you begin with actions that you love, that's your guide.
Mm, I love
that. And that's how you go to the river of life, because one action that you love awakens you to the next, and the next. So if we keep it simple, we show up. If we make it too complicated, we freeze.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I can personally, I've done that exercise for 30 days straight before, and I can totally attribute or attest to how powerful it is.
It works, doesn't it?
100%.
It changes you. Your head, your fearful head stops leading, and your courageous, insightful, empowered heart, essence, spirit starts leading.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, if you do it enough, sooner or later, even if you don't act on it to begin with, sooner or later, you'll get bored of the same things coming up and you'll try something. And it does happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Do one thing. You don't have to do all those. Just one thing. If I weren't afraid, I'd take Saturday off. If I weren't afraid, I'd call my mom and say, I love you, even though you drive me crazy. If I weren't afraid, I'd actually start writing a book, even if it could potentially be bad. I'll start. Anything, because fear takes you away from your authentic self. And if you get under it and on with it, you return to wholeness.
Yeah. Love that. Love that. So final question, Sonia, and this is always a reflection back because I know people love hearing about you and like the guests like you. What are you doing to fill your cup in Paris these days? What is bringing you joy right now?
Well, I tell you what's really bringing me joy is I actually started a podcast with my daughters.
You did?
And it's called It's All Related. And it's on iTunes, Stitchers, Spotify, and it's about living the intuitive life.
Mm.
Because we're disconnected. Sabrina's in London. I'm in Paris. My daughter Sonia's in New Orleans. We've all been teaching, but it's a way for us to stay connected while inviting the world to see we're all related.
Yeah.
That's why it's called It's All Related. Welcome to the Family. So that's my big fun, creative, authentic expression on top of my regular work. And I'm still coaching, teaching, doing readings. I just rewrote Ask Your Guides to Be Current.
Oh, awesome.
So I'm excited about that. That will come out in January.
Awesome.
And I'm really excited about that because it's filled with a whole bunch of new tools. And just, you could just find me on It's All Related podcast or just come to my website and see what I'm up to.
I love it. And I have to say, I've listened to all the episodes so far. It's the chemistry. It's like, it's so delightful hearing you and Sonia and Sabrina, because you're clearly having such a great time connecting and chatting.
It's a really self-indulgent effort because I love those girls and I love our conversations together. They're the complete embodiment of what I've devoted my entire life to.
And they are awesome women, I have to say. So
thank you.
Awesome. Awesome.
Thank you.
Sonia, thank you so much for joining us on this podcast. Thank you so much for your time on a Sunday evening.
Always.
I really appreciate that.
It's my pleasure. I love you so much. You're doing so much great work in the world. Everybody, listen to Krishna. He's a bright light and a guiding light.
Oh,
so it's my pleasure.
Thank you. And thank you for all the awesome work you've done for me and for so many people over the years. It's been awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Krishna.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining me on the Sacred Wild podcast. I really hope you enjoyed this episode and got something meaningful out of it. And if you did, please consider leaving a review on iTunes. Those reviews really help us out and they're what keep us here. Also, please make sure to hit subscribe and share this podcast with your friends and loved ones. And with that, many blessings, and I look forward to seeing you next time on the Sacred Wild podcast. Bye for now.